Our lesson for this Wednesday night is going to be on love. And tonight, our lesson will be about our love for God, God's love for us. And next week, our lesson is going to be on intimacy. And it's hard to separate those two. And we're not going to separate them. We're going to be looking at some things today that I want us all to think about. This is not on the outline, so bear with me for a little bit. I couldn't have asked Nathan to pick better songs for where we're going this week and where we're going next week. And starting with the very first one, you are the words in the music. You are the song that I sing. And then the last two, talking about relationship with Jesus. When we talk about intimacy, we talk about wanting to be so close to somebody that they know everything there is to know about us and they still love us. They know everything there is to know about us and they still want to be with us. And they still long to be in our presence and long for us to be in their presence. There is nobody like that except for God. And while there are some who come close, there is no one who is like that to the extent that God is. And this intimacy, where everything about me is laid bare and laid open, and I am still loved, and I am still wanted, is the amazing thing that we get from God. So before we read the words, I want you to open to the 23rd Psalm, and I want you to think about it with me. And I want you to think about it not from the individual words of those six verses that are there, but I want you to think about it with me from the standpoint of the overall psalm. It's a psalm of David. So when did he write this? I know the setting of his mind. I know the setting of what he's thinking. But I don't know if he wrote the song when he was a shepherd, or if he wrote the song later in life, when he thought back on being a shepherd. He was the only one of his entire family that was with the sheep on that day that Samuel came to anoint the next king of Israel. But it was not unusual for him to be in that position. He was the youngest. And being a shepherd of the sheep meant he was out there with them alone. And whatever day it occurred when these words came to him, being out there with the sheep alone while everybody else was enjoying a feast, while everybody else was invited to an important, possibly life-changing event, he was with the sheep. And if these words are true of him, and I know that they are, and if I can imagine it being words that may have come to him on this particular day, there would have been no anger. There would have been no bitterness. There may have been the sense of being alone. There may have been the sense of being lonely. But it was quickly removed by the truth and the reality that I'm not alone. I never have been alone. And I never will be alone. While I'm not with my family, I am in the presence of God. And in Him, as Paul would later write, I live, I move, I have my very being. The sheep were almost unconcerned about the shepherd, but the shepherd was not unconcerned about them. The sheep were involved in their own business of grazing and drinking and resting, and not concerned whatsoever about the shepherd, probably giving him no thought at all. But the shepherd was constantly concerned about them and watching over them. And it occurred to David, I have a shepherd like that. As he goes through his life, I wonder if there were ever occasions when, if he wrote this song as a child, he wanted to tear it up. When he was running from his life, or running for his life from Saul, and he felt no security and no safety and came so very, very close to death on so many different occasions, I wonder if he wanted to tear it up. I wonder when his son wanted to kill him and take over the kingdom, and he had to abandon his city and his palace in order to save his life and to save the life of his family, I wonder if he wanted to tear it up. With all the heartache that he went through and all the sufferings that he went through, I wonder what he wanted to do with this song. But he never tore it up. It's in our Bibles. It's recognized as being a song of David about the intimate relationship that he had with God. But more important than that, the recognition of the intimate relationship God had with him. And that's what this song is all about. And so he says these words. Verses 1 through 3 are the things that he says about the Lord. He's going to come back to that theme, things that he will say about the Lord as he ends the psalm in verse 6. In the middle portion, he's going to say things to God. But in these first three verses, he says things about God. The Lord, God, Jehovah, is my shepherd. Shepherd. The idea is often referred to, or used to refer to, the king. The Lord is my king. The shepherd is the master. The shepherd is the leader. The shepherd is the protector. The shepherd is the one that is in charge and in control. The Lord is my shepherd, my king, my master, my Lord. He didn't run from that. He didn't fight that. He welcomed that. He longed for it. He praised God for it. My shepherd. No matter how many people are in the world that he shepherds me. No matter how many people in the world that he's concerned about me. This God who is infinite in knowledge, who knows the heart and the soul of every human being in the world, knows mine. And he knows it completely and totally. Even better than I know myself. He is my shepherd. I accept him. I'm delighted he is. I make it my choice every day for him to be my leader, for him to be my guide, for him to be my master. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack for anything. Everything that I need, I have. Everything that's important and necessary, I have. He brings me to green pastures. He brings me to quiet waters. He knows what I need, and He knows what I prefer. He knows what I need. He knows what I have to have. Because I'm a sheep. And He brings me to the things that I need. Because He knows my needs completely and totally. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack for anything. He has me to lie down in these green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul like nothing else can do it. This craving that I have in my soul for acceptance, He gives it. This craving that I have in my soul to be known and understood and still loved, He gives it. Like nobody else can. And like nobody else ever will be able to. And this shepherd of mine who knows everything that there is to know about me guides me in right paths. He directs me and guides me and urges me and prods me. But He won't make me. He won't force me. He won't make me go against my will. But He makes it difficult for me when I don't. And He prods me gently and urges me to walk in paths that are right, in paths that are true. And He does this for His name's sake. What does that mean? He does all of this for His name's sake. Moses, when God wanted to destroy the children of Israel, used this same expression to urge God not to destroy them. For your name's sake, remember who you are. For who you are. And when God took His hand away from the eyes of Abraham, and I mean from the eyes of Moses, and allowed Moses to see the backside of God, and Moses was overwhelmed with seeing and understanding what God was like, and his expression was, "Don't you ever leave us." What he saw was God's faithfulness, God's mercy, and God's love. For your name's sake, guide me. And that means that because of who God is, because of His very nature, because of what He is, He will always guide us in paths that are true. And He will do it because He's faithful. And He will do it because He's good. And He will do it because He's love. That's intimacy. Intimacy with God Almighty. These are things said to the Lord. And there's a contrast that comes in verse 4. It's either David being aware of problems he's already had, problems he's going to face. It's verse 4 that gives you the idea that he may have written this song looking back in memory at the time that he was a shepherd. And he remembers that valley that he walked through all by himself. No one but his side, by his side except for God. Surrounded by two armies, but no help coming from either side. And he walks into this valley to face a giant whom he physically had no chance of defeating. But he came in the name of God, and God was with him, and he destroyed that giant. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, And how many times in his life did he walk through that valley? Walked into the very shadow of death. And eventually walked into that death. But he writes this with regard to everything that he has to say and everything that he suffered. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. I will fear nothing that evil has to offer. Why? Because you are with me. It's in you that I move and live and have my very being. You are with me, even through this valley. Your rod and your staff comfort me. The rod and the staff refer to the tools that he would have used to protect the sheep. The tools that he would have used not only to protect the sheep, but also to comfort the sheep. They were his weapons to keep them safe. And his rod and his staff still comfort us. They are his word. They are his promises. They are who he is, the God who does not lie, and the God who knows everything. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What kind of table is this? Is it a table of equality? No, because in this psalm, he's the guest of honor and he's not the guest. Is it a table of honor? Yeah. Is it a table of victory? Yes. Is it a table showing his enemies his relationship to God Almighty? Yes, it is. It's all of those things. It's his table of victory and joy and salvation. And he's anointed with oil, giving semblance of honor and elevation to a new height. And his cup overflows as he has this oil poured over his head. And then again, he says about the Lord in verse 6, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, because you are my shepherd. You are my guide. And no matter what dark valleys I have to walk through, goodness, because you are good, and love, because you are love, will follow me all the days of my life, because you are with me. And we have this intimate relationship with one another. And I will dwell in God's house forever, because you are my shepherd. And I want to be your sheep. I want to be where you are, doing what you would have me to do, wherever I am and whatever I'm doing. And I know that if I do that, then I will be eternally with you. Eternally with you as your very child. Because I recognized your love. And I recognized you were my shepherd. And I followed you as a faithful sheep. That's intimacy. That is love. And it's what God has come to show us. And what God has come for us to know that we have, if we just trust it, if we just believe it, if we just accept it. Have you become a Christian yet? Are you ready to put on Christ in baptism? Do you need to come home to Christ? Are you ready to begin and to continue this life in God as God would have you to live it? If you need to respond to his invitation this morning, we offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing. What can